Welcome to Serotalk Tech Chat number 48 for January 21, 2010. This is Michael Loft. Tonight's topic is Internet Power Search, and we will talk a little bit about searching the Internet, finding news and information. So we will give you some tips specifically for searching for things that may otherwise be hard to find, some of those what they call Boolean operators where you put your search in quotes or put plus signs between the words. So we'll talk about that a little bit, but we're also going to talk about kind of the new way that people are getting information, and that's blogs, because now actually Google, and I'm not sure how the other search engines approach this, I think Yahoo may be following the same lines, but Google definitely gives priority to blogs and YouTube and videos. So it is changing kind of the way that we get information. First of all, on the page, those who are viewing via accessibleevent.com, what we have, just to explain this concept of what are called Boolean operators, and of course, Bool was the name of a famous mathematician. So basically, they fall into three categories. There's and, or, and not. So using these things, and obviously gives you a way to really limit your searches. If you don't want to get that technical with it, simply putting your search in quotes will do wonders for you. For example, maybe you want to find out any references to your name. Just go to Google and in the search box, put a quote in your name and close it with a quote, and you might just be amazed at the results you get. Also, tracking packages. I find this a lot easier than instead of going to UPS or USPS or FedEx.com, you can simply go to Google and in the search box, put in your code, and there's a lot of other things you can do as well as getting airport listings, flight arrivals, delays, things of that sort. There's a lot of good stuff there, so I would encourage you, those viewing via Accessible Event or SAMNet members, to go listen to Tech Chat 30, where we went into some of the great details of Google searching. And also link number two here talks about a Braille book, and there's also an audio tutorial somewhere called Google It. And this was produced by National Braille Press, Jonathan Mosen, and Anna Dresner. And I understand there's a new version coming out sometime early in 2010, so that might be worth a buy. But this was, I think it was only like $7, and unless you're really a power searcher, there's going to be a few things in there that you probably didn't know about harnessing the power of Google. You know, billions of pages, very powerful, but some people don't like Google because they can't get the results they want, and it's because not knowing these simple few search criterion that help make life a lot easier. So that might be worth an investment if you like your material in Braille, or maybe you want to just get in a text format, or maybe even find out where the audio tutorial may be located. You can click on link number two and get more information about that. Now, beyond that, we have some other links that go into greater detail about doing internet search. Link number three is something called internettutorials.net. And I'm going to click on that and just show it to you here a little bit. And it talks about the Boolean operators and how to do searches, whether it be Google, Yahoo, or the new Bing from Microsoft. Gives you examples down here of some different ways that you can type searches. Say when you want to find this plus this, but not that, or this, but not that. So you can get very specific. And once you master this, it is worth the time, because even if you spend a couple hours just playing around with it, it's worth the time, because with a little practice and skill, you can become as efficient as a librarian in really honing in and finding the exact information that you're looking for. So we would encourage people to, perfect that. And the reason I did this is because every day I get an email, someone go, where can I find this? And of course, the old smart aleck short-term answer when you don't have the time or motivation is Google it. And that's what a lot of people say, and that's one way to do it. And certainly Google's not the only search engine, but understanding these operators, even if it's something as simple as just putting quotes around what you're looking for, if you know that's the exact phrase and you're sure that you have the spelling correctly, or you're saying I want this plus this plus this, so that it must contain, the web page must contain all words, to help really hone in and narrow it down for you. Number four is Boolean logic from Wikipedia. I thought this explained things very well, and goes into some great detail, not only in how it works, but really providing probably the greatest number of examples to help you make sense of all this. And then number five was a link with some video tutorials and some library references and so forth. So if you're in school and really need to take internet searching to the ultimate level, you can go there. And this is provided from Washington University in St. Louis. And of course, as always, you can, we will provide these links in the socializer. Actually, if you go to serotalk.com/shownotes/research.htm. You can have these links in front of you there to pursue them at your leisure. Now, the next 15 or so links that we get into are specifically dealing with kind of getting more news and current information. Number 6 is the Huffington Post, and this is a interesting blog / news site because basically people post comments, and if someone posts a good enough comment or writes a story, it can even be posted here. So you have a professional staff, and then you have what may be considered amateur writers, who if they write a piece that's good enough, it is actually posted. And there is a book in the NLS program called the Huffington Post Guide to Blogging. So if you've been thinking about setting up a blog to kind of tell your story or pursue something that you're interested in, or perhaps you just want to, you've been doing a blog for a while, but you actually want to get some followers and want some tips to really kind of take it to the next level, that's a great book, and it's available in the NLS BARD program. Again, it's Huffington Post Guide to Blogging, and it is written by the founder, Arianna Huffington, and it has a lot of quotes from different people who have written articles. Give some really good resources for advertising. If you want to make money from your blog, or you just want to market your blog and kind of get the what's called buzz, if you will, that you write a good story and get other people to follow up on it. Also listed here are link number 7, which is buzz.yahoo.com. Again, a place where people can say, here's my favorite stories, and share that information. Number 8 is one that's becoming kind of popular. It's called Digg, with 2 G's, DIGG.com. And I'll show you this page real quick. The power here is stories are rated by how many people dig it. So in other words, if you have a blog, you can put these icons on the blog to say Digg and Delicious and Stumble Upon. And then if people use those sites and they click through, then that's like a vote for your story or your post or your article. And once you get listed on these, I guess you could call them third party, but really they are social networking portals in and of themselves, that can greatly increase the amount of traffic that goes to your blog. So if you're into blogging and want to get the word out, going here to Digg and signing up and getting the icon and the link or whatever that you can post on your own blog can greatly increase the traffic to your website or blog. Number 9 is delicious.com. This is for sharing bookmarks. This one's kind of cool, actually, because you find people with similar interests. So you can save your bookmarks here, which might be good if you ever lose the contents of your computer. But the great thing is you can list things here by category. So if you're interested in technology, if you're interested in blindness, you can find other people with similar interests. So you can, as it says here, dish out your bookmarks to friends or see what others are sharing with you. Like, for example, I typed in Serotalk, and I found about 8 listings. So the tastiest bookmarks on the web, they call it here. So about 8 particular podcasts and tech chats came up. So these are ones that at least some people felt were important enough that they wanted to, as they say, dig it and share it with other people. So again, whether you're trying to promote your own content or you just want to go out and find the most interesting stuff on the web, these are some portals to help you kind of do that. Because there's literally thousands of pages and millions, websites. On the cat wants to be on the podcast. No, this is a podcast, not podcats. That's right, podcast, not podcats. So Delicious is one pretty cool worth looking at. Number 10 is Alexa.com, A-L-E-X-A.com. This is for kind of ranking. So if you want to find out what are the most popular sites, maybe I should have named this popularity contest, because that we're showing a lot of stuff here. Because with so much material out there, it's just helpful to have something in front of you that lets you know what other people are looking at. And, that's going to be helpful. And in some cases, you may not care. You may say, those of us who do not see our interests in some areas are going to be so different as some of these things that people are posting to may not be of interest. But it is good to find out there are a lot of commonalities, things that we are interested in, certainly following what's going on in Haiti and just different social developments, things going on with governments and so forth that by seeing what other people are looking at, it's saving you a lot of time. You could say, well, geez, 300 people like that. Maybe I'll go take a look at it. Whereas before, I was like, yeah, maybe, maybe not. But if 300 people say it's good, well, maybe there's something to it. It's worth the read. So if you're like me, you look at links all day. And I don't know if everyone looks at links like I do all day, being a content guy. But, you know, certainly we all go to websites and there's so many links and we think, well, those five things look like worth pursuing, but I only click on one because of time constraints. This helps you kind of triage and say, well, geez, you know, this one got a lot of visits or a lot of positive comments, so maybe it's worth the read. Number 11, this is a good one. I would encourage people to check this out. It's called Technorati, and it is spelled T-E-C-H-N-O-R-A-T-I. And what I linked to here is the top 100 blogs. So you can look at those, but there's also top 100 blogs by different categories like business and technology and so forth. So this would be one of the sites I would rate as being one of the better links on the 29 links that I've come up with. Here's number 11, technorati.com. Great way to stay up on information because blogs really have replaced, some would say are, but I would say have replaced the newspaper as far as giving you current and timely information. And I'll be curious when we open up the discussion a little bit later to see if people in here are using blogs, any of you are bloggers, and or those of you who use blogs for news, or maybe you use social networking like Twitter or even Facebook or any of these sites that we mentioned. We'll be glad to hear about that shortly. Also, number 12 is called A List Apart, and that is for people who make websites. So if you've been wanting to know how to do a website, that's a great resource. Number 13 is called DoshDosh. It's DOSH.com, and it is specific information for making money on your website. And if you want to know more about that, you can write me at resources@serotalk.com. We can give you some other sites, or you can look at the Huffington Post Guide to Blogging. It has some other sites for that as well. Those of you who want to make some money. Of course, if you want to make money on your website, you have to have visitors to your website. And how do you get visitors? Well, you have to have content, content, content. You have to write and come up with interesting things that keep people coming back to your site for more and more. Number 14 is called Google's Alerts. Google Alerts, and this is a service that will let you know anytime your name or your website is mentioned on the internet. This is great to find out what we call trackbacks, to find out who is actually linking to you. Likewise, if you want people to link to you, you link to them. You, if you have a blog, you fill up your blog role with links to other people and websites and portals that are interesting to you and let them know. And hopefully they will in turn link back to you. And it's all kind of it's its own form of networking, but very effective. Google Alerts is a must-have if you're trying to do something online and trying to see who's actually viewing it and where it's going. Because you get a nice little email telling you that so-and-so is linked to you. And so that's great. And then, like, we had a user on Samnet that commented on my tech chat about preparing for disaster a couple weeks ago. So then I read her article and found her blog interesting and bookmarked it as well. So it's all just a nice chain reaction that goes on there. Number 15 is called Mashable.com. It's a popular blog on social networking. So I just talked to someone who mistakenly installed that Facebook app and got some mean and nasty worms as a result. So looking at a site like this with the latest news on social networking, be it Facebook, Twitter, or some of these other sites that we mentioned, is helpful to kind of let you know some of the gotchas, things to stay away from. There's been some new developments on Twitter that those of you who use Twitter might be interested in, especially those of you trying to market and get as large a following as possible. And, of course, there's a lot of talk now about the Apple tablet, which will be announced next Wednesday, the 27th. So we'll be curious to see if that device is accessible and what it's going to offer under the hood. Number 16 is called NewsTrust.net. Again, a site where people vote on their favorite news stories. Number 17, the same thing. I didn't find this one as useful, but I didn't spend a lot of time there. Is Reddit or Reddit.com, R-E-D-D-I-T.com. You can check that out. All, again, ways to just find out what's hot and what's current. Number 18 is StumbleUpon.com, and another site where people can rate and find sites that match their interests. So it's all about, that seems to be the new wave in the social networking, is kind of sharing your bookmarks, saying, hey, I found this. It's cool. Let's see what other people who may have similar interests to me can stumble upon. 19, of course, Twitter.com. And I would encourage anyone wanting to stay on top of what's going on to pursue Twitter. But again, that's something you have to be interested in. It's not for everyone. But I just find it to be one of the ultimate resources for news. Again, following the right people is the key, as well as just stuff. finding out what's going on with various family and friends. And number link 20, of course, serotalk.com, which, of course, goes to twitter.com/serotalk. We'll click on it there, and you can see all of the stuff that we post. Usually falls into the areas of either kind of computing or technology, obviously the Serotalk podcast and tech chats themselves, and of course any stories, some stories relating to blindness. Now there are obviously people who do a lot more of that than I do, you know, entities like Fred's Head and so forth that really get much deeper into it, but I try to get what I think is some of the top news in computing and technology and so forth. Now my last 9 links here. The first 6 here talk with some of the more popular sites of special interest to the blind. Of course, number 21, blindbargains.com. And I'll mention while I'm thinking of it here, the Blind Bargains, along with Serotalk, both of us will be there conducting interviews. So there'll be 2 different ways to get information from ATIA going on next week in Orlando, Florida. So I think between following link 20 and 21 here, Serotalk.com and Blind Bargains, you should be able to stay up on all of the cool stuff going on at ATIA. Number 22, again, something most people have heard of, but if by chance you haven't, blindcooltech.com, where people volunteer, kind of amateurs. Some sound kind of professional, but mostly it's amateur. It's a hobbyist kind of thing where people post podcasts, basically doing recordings of different things that they found and they enjoy. Some are hardware and software, electronic gadgets, and others might just be people playing music or recording different sounds, and or people traveling somewhere. So a little bit of everything. You can check that out. Number 23 is ACB Radio's main menu, which has been taken over by Jamie Paws, kind of overseeing that. And, of course, working with a few other folks. I think Tim Cummings is kind of doing the engineering on the recordings and so forth. But they have some good stuff every week, interviewing some of the new blindness-specific products and services to hit the market. Link number 24 says other ACB radio shows on demand. I don't know how complete it is, but the link is there, and it does have some other stuff. I didn't see main menu on that, so I'm not sure what it includes and what it doesn't include. It looks like some shows that are no longer on the air, so really more of an archive, but you can look through that. Number 25 is the blindgeekzone.net with some good stuff, and number 26 is atmain.com with a good friend Steve Sawson, who does a live chat Wednesday evenings from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern on Ventrilo. And persons can participate in that and put in their 2 cents. And sometimes he has very specific topics that are covered. And then other times it's just kind of an open forum and people talk about whatever's on their mind. But Steve is very knowledgeable. He's great to throw a question by, and he's good at coming back with some kind of explanation about something that maybe you don't understand, or pretty quick to even look it up if he's not aware of it. But certainly there are always other people there to share the fact that it is live and it's 2 hours and it's kind of informal, but a lot of good information disseminated from AT Maine, and that's like the state, ATMAINE.com. My last 3 links are just some of the favorite technology sites. Number 27 is TechCrunch.com. I know not everyone shares my love for technology, but I'm sure a good majority do. People playing around with accessible event and just listening to the podcast and tech chats. I think one of my favorites is number 28 here, ArsTechnica.com. This is where a lot of the stuff that I retweet on the technology, the mainstream technology side, comes into play. So a lot of good stuff here at Ars Technica. That's ArsTechnica.com. And you can read through the good stuff there. Number 29, there's some good stuff here at CNET.com, but you have to fish a little bit to find particularly what you want. Now, if you want podcasts, there's some good stuff. There's BOL, which is Buzz Out Loud, which is kind of the latest tech news that comes out every day. That's a good one. So you'll just have to kind of search around CNET.com. But a lot of good stuff there if you want to stay up on the latest and greatest as it pertains to technology. So I'm going to now enable questions and enable the live voice chat. So again, you'll see it there on your screen. There'll be a element, those attending via accessible event, where you can submit a question, or you can press the F9 key as a push to talk. We also are simulcasting into the Serotalk Tech chat room, which people can use that as well. We again ask them to just press enter, speak your name, and then release, and then do not push again until we call on your to prevent any feedback or anything of that sort. So Firstly, do we have any questions from anyone in the tech chat room?
Wallace.
Okay. All right, Wallace, what is your question tonight, sir?
Thank you, and enjoying your presentation, Michael. My question tonight is, where do I go to find the 29 links that you were talking about? And also my second question is, can we obtain most of this information by using the, SAMNet and the System Access Screen Reader?
Well, of course you can obtain all the information via the SAMNet and System Access Screen Reader. Basically, Wallace, anything that I'm talking about is in front of people if you go to the Accessible event. So if you chose to go in the Socializer and click on the Accessible event link, instead of coming in the tech chat room, you would see a webpage with all these links in front of you. Other than that, the webpage will be posted there. We have serotalk.com/show notes, and this one is /research.htm. So you can either now go over to Accessible Events, the link in the Socializer, or simply, when the show is over, click on that link, and then you can see a webpage. That's why we use Accessible Event, that people can see all these webpages in front of them. So you have the benefit of listening and browsing the web at the same time and then going to the few particular pages that are of interest to you. Do we have anyone else on either venue, either the tech chat room or Accessible Event? I guess F9 is your push-to-talk key in there. Of course, we'll take text questions as well.
Steve Sawson, comment.
I know some folks had a... Okay, Steve Sawson, thank you for joining us this evening. What's on your mind, sir?
Well, thanks again for a fantastic and awesome presentation, and I also want to thank you for putting the AT show on the list. I certainly appreciate that. But one resource that I've come across, and I didn't hear it, so I apologize if I've missed it, but it's kind of a simple resource, Instapaper, Instapaper.com, is a site where... Did you cover it and I missed it before I just tell you real briefly?
No, I have not heard of Instapaper. Please
tell
us about
it. I've been seeing it in all these iPhone Twitter clients, and I finally got curious and wanted to see what it is. But basically, it's for those times where someone gives you a link or something, and you just don't have time to read it right now. But if you bookmark it, you won't find it. So what you can do is, Instapaper is sort of a read it later. You can add the link to Instapaper, and then you can go back, and you have all of those things that you've added in a list. You just click and go straight to those links. What's nice about it is adding the link to Instapaper is real easy. Many Twitter clients have a feature built in now where if someone tweets a link, you can just hit a button and it auto adds it to your Instapaper account. Or where I use it is on the iPhone, there's a add to Instapaper choice. So if I'm on the road and you post something of interest and I want to read it but not right at the moment, I can do that. And then from my Mac at home, I can read that. And there's a bookmarklet for Firefox. I don't know how you do it with IE, but I'm sure it's easily doable, and it's just great for those times that there's an article that you want to read, but you can't read it now, or you're not on the computer where you can read it, and you want to have access to it from some other location. Free service, easy to set up, super accessible, and that's all it does, so it's just that simple.
Okay, so this is a plugin for Firefox, you're saying, right? But also, are you also saying there is an iPhone app, or this is the back end that iPhone apps use?
Well, it's not even a plugin. It's just a bookmarklet. You sign up with Instapaper, and then you add this little JavaScript bookmarklet thingy to your bookmarks bar in Safari or in Firefox. And if you're on a web page and you click that, it adds that to your account on Instapaper. And there is an API, which simply means that applications such as Twitter clients and so forth can also submit web addresses to your Instapaper account. So you could also open it in another window and click Add and manually add a site, but that's a little bit much. And so it's not even a plugin. There's nothing really to install except the bookmarklet, which is optional and just makes things a little bit faster. It's really a simple, neat service.
Well, very good. I appreciate that. I will definitely add that, Instapaper.com. I was not aware of that, and that's, that's what I like most about hosting these events, is learning and getting ideas from other people of things that we simply did not know about. So is there anyone else that would like to either ask a question or contribute some other great resource for staying on top of news and information that has not been listed thus far? We would certainly like to hear from you. Again, F9 is your push to talk in Accessible Event, or just the enter key in the Serotalk tech chat room. Or, of course, you can submit a text question if you prefer. Text or voice audio question, either one. And we'll be glad to about that. While we wait for the next one to come in, I do want to mention a few things here that are coming up. First of all, join us for the Cerro Talk podcast, and we'll be at ATIA January 27th through the 29th. It continues on the morning of the 30th. My plane leaves early enough that I'm not going to be able to hit the floor and do much on the 30th, maybe a couple at the beginning. But we invite you to either listen to SamNet Radio, which is radio.samobile.net, or certainly follow, you go directly to CerroTalk.com, and we'll post interviews there. Or, of course, you go to twitter.com/CerroTalk if you haven't done so yet, and follow CerroTalk to stay up on the latest. Or, of course, if you just kind of want to wait for the best of, then tune in for the next podcast on February 1st. We'll do some of the highlights from ATIA and kind of let you know what's going on there. Also, we are looking for your ideas for future tech chats. We get ideas for things, but sometimes they're little things that could be explained in 5 minutes. And, of course, coming up with things for 1 hour sometimes is a little bit more of a challenge. But I've done a few that I thought were interesting and got very little response. And sometimes people want to hear about things that I may not think are interesting, like the latest book player or whatever. So we need to hear from you what kind of things you think are interesting so that we can come up with tech chats that are of interest to the masses. Of course, you could send us an email at resources@cerrotalk.com, or, of course, call our blab line and just put in your 2 cents toll-free in North America at 866-997-BLAB, which spells 2522. A few things we're excited about coming up in February. We're looking forward to reviewing the Blio Reader, the product of Ray Kurzweil, with 1 million books for free, plus another million you can purchase. Next Wednesday will be the release of the Apple tablet, which has got a lot of buzz, and no one even knows exactly what it's going to do. But believe me, rumors galore. I understand it's probably something about like a 10-inch screen, something kind of a hybrid between an iPhone and an actual computer. So we'll be curious to see what it's capable of. And, of course, from our vantage point, is it going to be accessible? Is this something that we'll be able to use? And what's going to be the price of the device? So that'll be released on the 27th. And should it be an accessible device worth mentioning, we certainly will do a tech chat on that as well. And we invite you to drop by our booth number 520 at ATIA. We will have a new announcement, something to show, and I'll leave it at that. I got to be a tease, but we will have something new to show next week, the 27th through the 30th at ATIA in Orlando, Florida. Again, anyone else now with questions, just go ahead and press F9 or in tech chat. And
hello, this is Jenny.
Jenny, okay. Hi, what's on your mind this evening?
The site that I usually use to, I guess you could say, surf or, I put all my sites together. It's a Google Reader, which it's an RSS reader pretty much. And you can for some sites, if you don't know the RSS feed, you can actually type in the URL to a blog or a news site or a newspaper or whatever, and Google will actually find it, and you can add the subscription. Some things may or may not be the most accessible. A few problems are for example, if you're reading an article in Google Reader and you get to the end of the article, there are some buttons where you can add a star, you can share it, you can share it with a note, you can send email. There's various options. I've kind of found a workaround with my primary screen reader, but I'm not really sure how, every screen reader is going to handle that differently. But for me, it works because I can put everything in one place, and no matter where I am, whether I'm here at home or at the office or at someone else's house, I can have everything in one place. So that's something that I would suggest, and, you can play around with it and find out whether it works, and if it does, you can use it, and if not, then not. So.
Okay, so you're saying I'm gathering from that we need a little bit of refinement from System Access, so we can certainly take a look at that. Because that would be a powerful tool, especially if we can just point at a web page and it will find the RSS within that, or I don't know what it does on pages. Because sometimes there'll be a page that has like 50 different RSS feeds, depending upon what you're interested in, how it knows.
But you can search, you can find the RSS feed because, like, my local paper, which is the Ledger here in Lakeland, in the next city over, they have 3 or 4 different RSS feeds when you go to their site. And I can't remember because it's been a while since I actually searched by URL, because usually I'll just go copy and paste the RSS feed directly. But, I mean, if for some reason the RSS feed isn't very apparent on the page for some reason, then Google will find that page or find that RSS feed for you, and you can decide whether that's a feed that you want to add or whether it's something that you want to not add.
So as you can tell by the URL, it'll show you an alt tag if it has one or if not. You can look at the URL and kind of tell if the RSS feed matches, I guess, what you're... So what else can you do with that? So it's just for your kind of your blog and your news articles. Does it tie anything else together?
I have blogs, news articles. I actually have weather. You can from the different, like I think Weather Underground, you can get the RSS feed for your. I've got so much stuff on there right now. I actually have to go do some house cleaning because I don't read a lot of it. But I've got, you can put different things in folders. Like I have a blogs folder and a local news folder and a regular news folder. So you can basically tie all your news and blogs and weather and that sort of thing all together in one place. So so that it saves time, so you don't have to go to 30 different websites or whatever. That it kind of saves a lot of time, at least for me anyway.
Well, cool. It sounds like a very powerful tool. We'll have to play with that and see what we can do looking at for accessibility. Speaking of accessibility, the official Firefox 3.6 was released today. And that has some accessibility enhancements, including, and I think it's still beta in a way, and by that meaning that it's an official release, but I don't know how many people have played with it, but it has the ability to do voice recognition, speech recognition. So you have to enable it. It's turned off by default, so you can turn it on and play around with that. That's, of course, in Windows Vista and Windows 7, so that might be a way to browse the web via voice, and we're going to give that a play and maybe take that for a spin and maybe do a tech chat on that, because there has been a lot of interest in my 10-minute article that I did about using the computer with your voice. So that may be something to come up. I thank you for that, Jenny. Some good stuff there. Google Reader. We'll definitely give that a play. Anyone else tonight with a comment or a question? Don't be shy, folks. We've got a few of you here, but we likes to... get a diversity of comments here. Okay, here's a text question, so we'll see what we have. Okay, Rob mentions there's a program called Clango with a media player and tools, that allow you to work with other people on the network. So, yeah, okay, that's worth a mention. I haven't played with that for quite a while, but, yeah, a lot of blind folks use Clango. I don't know who it was, but someone referred to it as the poor man's SamNet. So I don't know if I want to say that, but that was something I heard. But Clango is an interesting product because, you can have a little basic blog page on it, and there's some games you can play, and you've got the sound packs that you can do. But to me, probably the most interesting thing about Clango is the media player that's built into it, because you can, A, record what you're listening to. You can submit links so that they're included for all others. You can have your favorites or audio bookmarks, if you will. And you can even queue and review. So if you're listening to something, did he say what I think he said? What I thought he said? You can actually scroll back through it, actually move back and forth through the audio file, which I think Total Recorder also does that as well. But I know Clango 3 has introduced some issues interfacing, at least with certain screen readers, but Clango is a very interesting tool folks can play with. So depending upon which screen reader you use, you either may need to disable it or make sure it goes to sleep when you got the Clango window highlighted. But it's certainly something to play with. I haven't looked at it lately, so I don't know how it's been enhanced. Anyone on either side can comment. Let's see what the next question or comment here is. What is the best way to search Google? That's a I don't even know where to start with that. It again depends on what you're trying to do. I would say to that, the simplest thing, if you're sure exactly what you're looking for, I would put it in quotes. That will at least reduce the number of results that you get. However, if there's any doubt in your mind about how it's spelled, or if the words that you choose may not be the best way to approach it. The other way that I find effective is simply to choose four or five words that I know I want to all be in there, and just separate them with plus signs. So say if I wanted to find out everything that I do for the podcast, I might type Michael plus Lof plus Serotalk plus podcast plus tech chat or something, or maybe just Michael plus Lof plus Serotalk. And that makes sure that all the pages have to have those words, and that will get rid of most of the irrelevant information. But as far as what's the best way to search Google, you'd have to look at these links 1 through 5. I would listen to tech chat 30, which is link number 1 there. And that I go into a little more detail about Google, maybe actually spend the $7 or whatever on Jonathan and Anna's Google it. I think it's a very good resource, worth the money. Anyone, I definitely must have for anyone going to school or anyone required to use the internet for their employment or their workplace, or anyone simply wanting to become more proficient at searching the internet, I would encourage making that investment. I'll be very curious to see what the new 2010 version, because this one here is a couple of years old, but what the new one that Jonathan and Anna put out. But I did actually purchase it. I knew almost everything in there, but I must say even I learned a few things, but also just to support the authors for putting that together. It is a great resource, and you know, as I said, even I learned a few things. So again, the short answer, do some quotes and plus signs, and other than that, maybe listen to Tech Chat 30, link number one there, or number two, consider purchasing that in Braille or text file so you have it there. Okay, let's see. Our next question, what do I think about Wikipedia? Well, I'll be curious anyone else's comments on that, but Wikipedia is something you take with a grain of salt because there's too much chance that people can, you know, intentionally post wrong information, which some people do for fun. I think they've done some things to try to minimize that, but, you know, Wikipedia is a starting point, but you can't, and that could be said for generally searching the internet, you can't just assume that anything you read is accurate because there's always the risk that either someone intentionally posts misinformation to deceive people or simply posts what they believe to be correct when in fact they do not have accurate information themselves. Now, by and large, Wikipedia is be correct, and it's a good starting point. I tend to use it more for like definitions and really trying to understand a concept and maybe get some keywords from it as far as that industry, and then take those keywords and maybe go back to Google or something and find other articles and go into greater detail. But certainly Wikipedia is a good resource, and but just don't believe it to be the end-all, be-all. Jenny, do you use, I was thinking you mentioned Wikipedia once and kind of what you think as far as the accuracy of it, and you know, it's tough to know when to believe it and when not. But it's a good starting point. It's a really good, on that, you know, when you're just trying to find out something, another kind of related is something called OneLook.com that I use. It's more of a multi-dictionary query type website, but I find it very effective because I want to learn what the meaning of a word is so that I can understand, I can find all its synonyms and better learn the subject. So Wikipedia is a start, but as long as it's not the end all and be all.
This is Jenny.
Yes.
Okay, I use Wikipedia, and as I said, I do take it with a grain of salt, but usually if I'm looking for something, like the other night I was searching for a dish that I was eating so I could explain to everybody else in the chat that night what I was eating because it was hard for me to describe it. And they were like, oh, that's Wikipedia. Don't believe it. And I said, well, I know what it is, and this is pretty true. So I think for the most part, you do want to take it with a grain of salt. But then, at least in my experience, most of it is accurate, but usually I'll cross-check it with other sites just to be sure. So it is a good starting point, but then again, because it'll be a note. It'll say this material is not referenced or something like that, and so it'll put little alerts up there to kind of let you know not that you might not want to take it completely, you know, on face value. You might want to check it out or research it or something.
Well, exactly, and so your best bet maybe to even dig down a little bit and click on some of the links within Wikipedia and look at some of the other stuff, but generally, I found it as a good starting point, like I said, just to get kind of the keywords that I'm looking for and get some kind of idea and then build from there. So a very good question. Very good question. Anyone else tonight on either side? Also, we've seen this, we're talking about some new stuff. There's a great post over at Accessible World where Mike May talks about his trip through CES, the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. So we've listened to that, and there's some things there we're following with interest to when they become available. One of which I'm kind of excited about is an RCA remote that has speech recognition. And this will be a universal remote, so you can actually do macros. So if you have a home theater system, you can have it turn on multiple devices and turn on your TV and your DVD and set your TV to the DVD input and, you know, turn on your amp and put it in surround sound mode or whatever you want to do. Or maybe you just want to simply switch to a channel or go in and turn on DVS for something, you know. So we've got that. RCAaccessories.com should be out this spring. We've also got the NFB working to find a U.S. broadcaster to partner with to bring over this Ocean Blue set-top box over from the United Kingdom. So we're following that. And if there's something available in the States, or likewise, if any of you listening in the UK have one and would like to either do a demo of it, you know, you can record it yourself, or we could get together and call me on Skype and just I'll record it from this end. Or one way or another, if we can kind of let people hear how that device works. Or, of course, when it gets in the States, we'll acquire one and put it through its paces and either do it in the podcast or a tech chat on it. So a lot of interesting things coming out. I'm kind of excited to see what new announcements we'll have at ATIA. I hope there is some innovations coming forth. I hope it's not, as my girlfriend said, just businesses hawking their crap. But, you know, so I'm looking forward to that. I think it'll be pretty cool. Anyone interrupt me, because there is a 1 to 2 second delay, so I just kind of keep talking, so there's no silence. But usually if you just key up, I can hear that you want to speak or something, and we'll give you your turn at it here. Certainly want to hear your websites and other tools that you use so that we can kind of expand on our search here. Okay, well, here's somebody. Go ahead and state your name, please. Yes, Rob, what's on your mind tonight, sir?
This is kind of off topic, but in the a couple of podcasts ago with the emergency podcasts, I actually am an amateur radio operator, and amateur radio operators have play a good part in emergency communications. When the communications are down, they're the ones that get the word out there. So might want to mention that. So that's a good thought.
Well, good point, because obviously when I was thinking of the EMP, I imagine that most amateur gear would be destroyed, but obviously most disasters aren't. And we hope we never have an EMP, so right, a good point that the amateur radio operators do rise to the challenge and communicate and let folks know, family and friends, that everyone is doing okay. Let me ask you, Rob, is there much amateur radio activity from Haiti right now? Are there any reports via ham radio, either where people are finding out where the problems are or just kind of ways to stay up on top of what's going on, or have the communications and electricity been really impaired so much? Is there anything you can follow there?
Mike, I use a program called Echolink, and I don't know if anyone else here is a radio amateur, but there is quite a bit of activity going on amateur radio. On I understand some of the HF bands have activity, and of course, you know, Echolink and IRLP, and that's another link system. But so yeah, there is quite a bit of activity going on. I don't know what the progress is right now. I'm sure they're still working on it. I'm pretty sure about that, but yeah, just wanted to get that out. So back over to you, Mike.
Okay, very good. Hold on, I'm going to ask you another question here in just a second. Let me acknowledge this question I've got here that says, from Tim, who says, I use Klango for YouTube searches. I also have a church blog that doesn't look very good. Well, two things. A, on blogs, there is Blogger from Google, HTTPS blogger.google.com or HTTPS blogger.com. You can use that, or of course you can use WordPress, and there's different templates that you can install. So it's not hard these days, even if it's generic in the terms of other people have the same template, at least to make it look like it wasn't created by a blind person and lacks graphics and visuals. So there are some tools, either WordPress. You can get a free one, I think, over at WordPress.com, or you can go to WordPress.org and install it. A lot of people have website accounts, you know, which you start at like $6.95 a month. You can do your control panel, install WordPress, and do your blogs through there. Rob, I guess all I was going to say is that, I don't know if I mentioned it, and I remember saying having batteries for a radio, so maybe AM and FM, and maybe if you have the money, one of those shortwave radios, if you know an economical one that does the upper and lower sideband, so people can actually tune around during a disaster, so even if they're not an amateur radio operator, maybe they can tune in and listen to some of the stuff. I think they got some radios like that over at Sea Crane, and of course there's, I think, universal-radios.com, so there's some tools for that purpose as well. So again, radio by no means is dead, and there's a lot of good information out there, and yes, the amateur radio operators are the way to communicate that emergency information.
And Mike, also one final thought, and then I'll give my call sign for people who may want to maybe look me up. Of course, there's police scanners where people can monitor amateur radio too. And my call sign is KB3DHG, Kilo Bravo 3 Delta Hotel Golf. And thanks a lot, Mike.
Okay, thanks, Rob. Hold on here. It gave me an idea. You know, I think we should do a tech chat on amateur radio. Unfortunately, I'm not a licensed ham anymore. I let my license expire, and I don't live anywhere now where I could really set up a good eight. Well, I take that back. I could maybe set up something in the attic and probably drive my neighbors nuts, get RF all over the place. But see, I got a question here. How does Blogger work? And Google has its own web accessibility site. What do I think? Well, I don't know what to say about Google accessibility. It's mixed. I mean, some things are and some things aren't. And they we're requesting people to do some beta testing to make some more things accessible. So there's some effort, but Google's such a large company, it's not universal across the board. Does anyone currently have a blog on Blogger that could maybe address this question a little bit better? Well, I can. I will take that back. I can actually. Our Cerro Tech, not Cerro Talk, but the Cerro Tech blog uses Blogger. So, I mean, it's accessible. I've had no problems using it and posting to it. And obviously, some people try to copy and paste Word documents. That can get a little tricky, but it works pretty good. I've had no problem with it. It's accessible. You got to play with it a little bit, but I think Blogger is a really good source. I know in an earlier podcast, someone had mentioned LiveJournal. So there's a third source in addition to Blogger and WordPress. But no, Blogger is, I think, pretty usable. And if anyone in here specifically uses it and would like to comment in a little greater detail, I mean, I've done a few posts to it. I haven't really got under the hood to see all of its capabilities. I tend to lead toward using WordPress. But Blogger certainly works. It is doable and it looks good. And, of course, it's... You got Google on the back end, so everything is indexed, so people will find the stuff that you're posting, and it is free. So I would say, why not? If you have nothing else to work with, I see no problem with Blogger. But now I think maybe we could maybe do a tech chat on amateur radio. I don't know. I think it would be cool maybe one night to get all the people their calls and stuff, and maybe, I don't know what would be best, either 80 meters or 40 meters or something, and have a chat or something with all the blind hams, because there are many of them out there. I know quite a few. Mine has expired. Who knows? That might motivate me to get back online again, although honestly, I kind of walked away from it because the 2-meter activity here is dead, so which is too bad, because when you have an emergency, that 2-meter is great for local activity, and I remember one night hearing that a tornado was about a minute away, and right in kind of actually knowing as it hit the town of Petersburg, and then all of a sudden losing communications as obviously the towers and everything went down, but having that little bit of insight that it was coming by the hams that were tracking it, you know, the weather spotters and so forth. So used to play around with that, kind of walked away from it, and of course now we have apps for the iPhone to give us weather. Unfortunately, I don't think we can use the Doppler ones, which really get specific. But, you know, there's a lot of innovation. Of course, in an emergency, you're only as good as the battery life of your phone. So maybe it's good to get some extended battery. We're getting down about 3 minutes, so see if anyone else has any final comments or questions about anything tonight. Well, hearing nothing, we may put the wraps on it here. We go ahead and speak up if you got something on your mind here. But we will not be here next Thursday evening, as we will be... gathering interviews at ATIA in Florida. But again, you certainly want to follow CerroTalk.com or listen to SamNet Radio at radio.samobile.net. And you can get the listen link there, the PLS file. I'm technically not supposed to give out the direct URL, but it's not hard to get. Okay, someone there?
Michael, this is Wallace.
Okay, sir, what's on your mind?
Sure. When you go to Accessible Event, it asks you for some kind of code and your name. Is that code, is that your telephone number?
Each accessible event has its own 9-digit code. That's why I put a direct link in the socializer that circumvents that. So if you don't have that code, you either go to CerroTalk.com, because each event has its own code. For example, the code for this event, so it would be accessibleevent.com/344-241-313. And so that way each event has its own code, and so you can't just go to accessibleevent.com and find our tech chats. You either get it through the socializer or the link that I post in the users forum, or by following me on Twitter or Facebook, or maybe the simplest way is just to go to cerrotalk.com, and I will always have the link for the most recent event. So that is the best way to approach that. Okay, Rob, what's on your mind? What's on, buddy?
Yeah, doing you know, on the amateur radio tech chat, and you mentioned about the HF the HF. I am, for your information, I'm not licensed for HF yet, so you're going to have to find someone who is. But that's a good idea to do ham radio. Maybe we could do that sometime.
Well, even if we don't do it through the ham itself, but just get, I think that we could do it in here and just get amateur radio operators to talk about it, because it's changed a lot. I've been out of it for 20 years, so the license requirements have changed. Or I don't know now if, can you get a group of people? Say if you had 30 people, you get on Echo Link or one of the other services. Is that possible to do now where you don't have to have HF, where it's not, you know, it's not as relevant or important as it was back then? Or, you know, I think that'd be kind of interesting. Are there parts of the country now where HF is unusable because of just noise from computers and other technologies that just clog the band and make it unusable? I mean, I live kind of in a business area right behind a business park, and there's so many computers and stuff, my AM and shortwave is pretty much unusable. But that is going to put the wraps on this Tech Chat number 48. We thank everyone for their great comments, and again, follow us next week, Serotalk.com. We'll give you the best that we can scrounge up at ATIA. And then we'll be back here live and in the flesh on the following Thursday, which is February 4th. And hopefully we'll set up some future accessible events based on some people that we meet. So join us next week if you can. If not, February 1st, the podcast with some of the latest and greatest, best interviews that we could come up with. So until we meet again, let's stay connected and stay directed.